and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the place of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Lord, please bless the reading of your word. Use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The other day I was listening to my Bible app and I listened through this. And I had heard this story. Of course, I think probably my favorite story about Hezekiah is when he was healed. And you find that earlier in this chapter, where Hezekiah was told that he was sick, he was going to die, and Isaiah went and told him. And by the way, you'll find the same story here of Hezekiah in Isaiah 39. I believe it's some in 38 too, if you're wondering. And then in 2 Chronicles 32, I believe is the other chapter of the Chronicles where it talks about Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a very famous king. He was a wise king to an extent, and he did a lot of great things, and it's mentioned here. I read it to you just a moment ago in verse number 20. But my favorite story of Hezekiah is when he was healed, he was told by the prophet Isaiah to set his house in order because he was going to die that night. And the Bible says that Hezekiah stopped what he was doing. He turned his face to the Lord, or to the wall, and he cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says that God spared him 15 years. That's incredible that he changed the mind of God through his prayer. There was a battle that was fought, or really wasn't even fought. It didn't have to be fought because the Lord fought for him, where the king of Assyria came up and basically made fun of God and God's people. This is before Hezekiah got sick. And while he was making fun of God's people, he issued a challenge, the king of Assyria did, and God met his challenge, and God, the angel of the Lord, went out that night and smote, I believe it was 180,000 men that were out there to fight, and they woke up the next morning, and that king of Assyria ran back to his house, and when he got home, he was in his temple of his God worshiping, and his sons came in and murdered him. These are miracles, incredible things, incredible stories that happened in the life and in the time of Hezekiah. Now, we rarely read about Hezekiah that we don't read about the prophet Isaiah. So that gives us a timeline of when this stuff is going on. But Hezekiah had an issue, and it's a generational issue. Now, Hezekiah, he didn't always do right and didn't always do the right things in front of the Lord. But for the most part of his life, he was a good king. And I keep going back to verse number 20. The Bible says, "And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and conduit and brought water into the city." Now you got to think about that. I mean, this guy laid the foundation and he brought water to Jerusalem. That's a pretty impressive thing. That's a pretty amazing thing. I don't think anybody in here in the room is old enough to remember when water first got installed in your house. I think you probably, everybody grew up with it. But my grandma, she was born in the hills of West Virginia, and she would talk about having to go to the creek and get water out of the creek and bring water up out of the creek. And then my grandpa, I called him grandpa, my grandpa, he was born in Western North Carolina, and he lived on a place that had a gravity-fed water. There was a spring up on the hill, and they had piped water down into the house, and that's how they got their water, was off that spring. It was gravity-fed down into it. And so that was pretty amazing. They were old enough to remember life prior to plumbing. And I just want to say openly and publicly, thank God for indoor plumbing. And I am so grateful for the innovations, amen. And I don't know who the genius was that said, you know what? Instead of going out, we're going to bring this thing in where there's heat and cool, amen, and brought water to it. But man, that made a significant change in our life, as it did with Hezekiah. And in the life of Hezekiah, it made a significant difference in the life of the Israelites. What he'd done, the actions that he took, the plans he put in place as a king, as a leader, Hezekiah was incredible. But he had an issue. And his issue, I read it to you a few moments ago. One, Hezekiah was extremely open. And so now I don't know if you guys remember, but Babylon and the Israelites, they are not friends. But the Babylonian king had heard that Hezekiah was sick. And I will tell you this, it wasn't because he wanted to help him that he sent him a gift. And so the Babylonian king sent a gift, and old Hezekiah was pretty smitten by that. Let me read it to you again. Verse number 12 says, "And at that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick." And so this man sent him a present. We don't know exactly what the present was. We don't know tonight. It may be outlined in the scripture. I don't think it is, but it might be in there. And when he did that, that little gift was enough to get Hezekiah's attention. The Bible says, "And Hezekiah hearkened unto them." Who is them? He hearkened unto Babylon. So God has just delivered him out of the trouble of sickness. God brought him out of being taken by the king of Assyria and all of the people being wiped out. And now Hezekiah gets a little gift, a little present from Babylon. And he says, you know what, I think I'm going to give these guys some attention. Now, in those days, it wasn't like that they clicked on Amazon and bought a gift and had it delivered to Hezekiah's residence at, 102 Jerusalem High Drive. I mean, it wasn't like that. It was different back in those days. So what they would do is they would get a band of men, servants, princes, whatever, some royal ambassador. We have on the authority of the Word of God that it was actually the son of Baladan, the king, that went and took this stuff. So one of the princes of Babylon is going up with the gift, with all of these things that would get Hezekiah's attention, and he takes them to him. So Hezekiah had a choice to make when he was sitting there on his throne and all those people came in. He could have took the gift and that been the end of it. I will tell you this, that when you go back through the Word of God concerning gifts that come from places other than what God gives, God always told His men to reject those gifts. You go back and you look at the other prophets. Think about Elisha and Gehazi when Naaman come down there and needed to be cleansed, and he brought all those changes of clothes and all the gifts and all those things with him, and God told Elisha, said, "You don't touch that. We don't need him saying that he bought the salvation and the miracle that I'm going to do." And Gehazi went up and said, "Hey, my master changed his mind," and he got some of that stuff. And we know that that little servant Gehazi ended up with the leprosy that Naaman had on him because he partook of something that he had no business partaking of. And so God had always told them not to take that stuff. That's been God's rule of thumb, is we don't take from the world to make the things of God better. So here is this prince who's brought it to him, and he's brought him this gift. And in verse number 13 says, "And Hezekiah hearkened unto them," and watch this, here's where his weakness kicks in, "and showed them all the house of his precious things." Man, he picked the wickedest king in the world, and he showed him everything he had. When was the last time that somebody came to your house and you brought them in, and you knew that in the past they had bad and ill intentions toward you, and you said, "You know what? I ain't just going to give you the grand tour. I'm going to open up my gun safe." Amen. You're not seeing it. Matter of fact, you won't even know where it's at. Oh, Hezekiah hearkened unto those people, and he showed them all of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor. So he showed him the precious ointment. You know what that ointment would have been used for? Anointing things. Consecrating things. And he's going to show him, hey, this is the oil that the Lord gave me. This is the ointment that God gave me. This is the anointing tool that God has put in my house, and I'm going to show it to the devil. Tell him where it's at. Pretty dangerous thing he's doing here. He showed them all the spices, all the precious ointment, all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. So he has this. I can imagine the house of Hezekiah, what it must have looked like, how incredible it must have been, all of the beautiful things that he would have had. And he takes these guys who were enemies with Israel, and he shows them around his house. He tells them where his gun safe is, if I can use that term, and nothing. There was nothing in his house that he didn't show them. I mean, he took them to his safe, and he showed them, in the place where his armor was. He took them in there. He said, "Now, look, guys, if I'm not wearing this piece of armor, then I'll fall." Where do you think they're going to attack first? If I don't have this breastplate on, then I'm going to be in trouble. Look, there's some places, just because the devil is powerful don't mean that you got to show him everything that you got. He's not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-knowing. There is nowhere, the devil and the demons can get in your thought. I feel like I need to say this tonight because I believe spiritual warfare is very real. He can get in your thoughts, but he doesn't have control over your thoughts. He can implant ideas in your head, but he cannot read your mind. Y'all okay? He's not that powerful. He's not God. He would like for you to think that he is, But here's what happens. We'll get down and out, or we'll get a kindness will come to us. And I'm not saying that all kindness is bad. Some kindness is good, and thank God for people that are kind. But you need to know your limits, and you need to know where to cut it off when kindness comes in. Amen? You don't need to be showing the devil everything in your spiritual house. Here he is. Everything in his house. Nothing in his house he didn't show him. And even all his dominion, everywhere around the kingdom of Israel, he showed him. I can almost see Brother David, the captain of his army, standing there nervous as Hezekiah walked them into the munitions factory. Well, this is where we make our swords, and our swords are the greatest steel that you'll ever find. This is where we make our spears, and man, these spears, if we didn't have that machine up and running, I don't know that we'd be able to produce this many spears. If we didn't have this guy over here, he's a blacksmith. Not only is he a blacksmith, he's a goldsmith. He's an artificer in all things. Man, he can make the prettiest swords you've ever seen. They'll be sharp. They'll cut through anything. And them guys just sitting back, Old Hezekiah just showing them everything. Here it is. Verse 14, the preacher walks in. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah. I wonder if he wasn't summoned by the captain of the host. I wonder if he wasn't asked to come up here. Hey, you ain't going to believe what Hezekiah is doing. He's got these strangers from a strange land, and he's walking them around, showing them everything we got. Listen, I love you guys, but I ain't showing you everything. I keep some cards for myself. I work in security. I'm the line of defense. I take my job personally. I'm a locksmith. I work on doors, and so I take it personal when a door doesn't work, because I feel like that I am the last line of safety between a bad guy and 35 kids. And so I take that personal, that there are little lives that are on the line when my lock fails, when something doesn't go right. And so I can imagine how that the chief of security in Hezekiah, here's the thing, what people don't know makes it more secure. There are codes that I know in my mind. There is lingo that I have that I'm not going to share with you because it's confidential, and it's a serious matter. You're not going to call up a dealership, a car dealership. You stand in front of a brand new sports car and say, look, I'm looking here at this sports car, and it's a Corvette. Man, it's pretty. It's red. I tell you what, if you'll just give me the key code, I'll cut me a key and be on my way. That manufacturer's going to say, you out of your mind. I ain't giving you that. Why? Because it's information that can make the difference between whether or not the car leaves the lot, purchased or not purchased. There is some information that we withhold on purpose. We don't spill it. You pour your heart out to God, not to everybody else. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. I like how Hezekiah didn't answer him. I can't do that. Got to take them off. Can't have them sitting on my forehead. This is what happens to my sunglasses every day. Maybe that is, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, look, there I go trying to read. Time out. Y'all didn't warn me, because I really can't read without these now. It only, appreciate the encouragement. All these men, what said these men? Oh, Hezekiah didn't answer him. He didn't never tell him what they said to him. He just says that they come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Oh my. Oh, Hezekiah had made it clear all the things that he had. And Isaiah, I can almost see Isaiah do a face palm here. "No, you didn't, man. Come on, Hezzy. You know better than that. What are you thinking?" The old preacher, he just went right into it. Isaiah said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Watch this. Here's what he gave up. It wasn't just the gold and the silver and the ointment and the spices and the precious things in his house that he gave up. Here's what he really gave up by telling everything that was in his house. "Behold, the days come," verse number 17, "that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store." He gave away his heritage because he took the devil around, so he gave away his heritage. We don't realize it, but when we show everything, we're giving away the heritage that God has given to us. Some of the most precious things that I have. I am not, y'all will have to forgive me, my wife will tell you this too, I am not a sentimental person when it comes to things. My wife and kids, they are. They have certain things that mean a lot to them, and good for them. If you're that way, good for you too. I have one thing that I can really think of that is sentimental to me, that is valuable to me, sentimental value. I have my grandfather's cane, my pawpaw's cane. That's the only thing that I have that belonged to him. And I'm talking about my dad's dad. And he was 81 or 82 years old when he passed away in 1991. I have his cane, and up until a couple years ago, I'd take it and stick it up to my nose. I could still smell the smell of his hand on that thing, and I could remember that. That's the only thing. I would be more upset about that being taken away from me than I would be, you could take all my money, I'll get more money. But I'm serious about my life. I like the lives of my family. Somebody say amen right there. But I can lose things, and that will be okay. I can get more things. But I can't ever get Pawpaw's cane again. So it's sentimental to me. And the reason that it is sentimental to me is because it is part of my heritage. It is who I am. It doesn't remind me that the smell of his hand doesn't remind me of him per se. It reminds me of the hard work ethic that he had. It reminds me that I would see him as a late 70s year old man out there busting up firewood to keep the house warm. It reminds me of the times, the afternoons that I would get off the school bus and I would go and sit with Mama and Pawpaw and I would just be there, and I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember what we said, but I remember his voice. And that cane to me represents those things. That's why it's sentimental to me. I wouldn't sell my heritage. I wouldn't give that away. Now, you walked in my house and you found that cane, you would look at it and say, "Oh, it's just a cane." But to me, it is much more than just a cane. It's something that is sentimental. It's precious. And here's what Hezekiah did. He showed them all the precious, sentimental, valuable things of his house, and it cost him his heritage. Let's keep reading in verse number 17. "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." Watch this. He lost his lineage. I have no outline tonight. I hope one of y'all are writing this down, because I'm going to need you to send me a copy of it. He lost his heritage and he loses his lineage. Watch what he says. "And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon."
He lost his lineage because when they become eunuchs, they will no longer be able to produce heirs. They won't be able it stops with them. Hezekiah had one, maybe two more generations that would come out of him because of the people that were already there, and the people that are going to come, the lineage. All that he had to talk about was the good things he did for the city. Listen, I have been to all kinds of funerals, and I am telling you, I've heard people brag on the accomplishments that they've made, but at the end of it, I remember one time there was a sheriff's deputy, a pretty prominent sheriff's deputy in Douglas County, passed away, and I went to high school with his son, and they were other deputies, the sheriff was there, they had dignitaries were there, and man, they were getting up and they were talking at this funeral, talking about this guy who was just a wonderful guy, and he was just all the great things, giving him all kinds of accolades, and his son was the last one to speak up. And his son got up there, and this is what his son said. He said, "I don't know who you guys are talking about." He was serious as a heart attack. He said, "I did not know the man that you described." He said, "I knew a mean, rotten scoundrel that treated me like dirt a lot of days." God help! Who cares at the end of life what you did for the city or what you did for Jerusalem or what you did for people outside of your family if you pay the price of losing your legacy over it? Your lineage gone. In one decision of showing everything that you got, of giving it all away, one decision, one time, after God had been so good and had done so many things. Watch what old Hezekiah had to say about this. Before I go any further, I was coming down the highway just a little while ago, and I was just thinking, and years ago, I got caught up in this big thing of being well known in preachers' circles and getting to preach at different revivals and all this stuff. I got caught up in that. We went, I guess it's mainly in 2014, wasn't it? We went all over, went to Jacksonville, Florida, went to Pensacola, we went to, I don't know where all, we went all over the Southeast. North Carolina, went all over these places and met a lot of the big names and all this stuff. And I guess I'm glad for it, but I was thinking coming down here, if being well known to my family and my church means that I am unknown to anybody outside this group, I'm good with that. I would much rather my people know me. I'd much rather my family know me and be known to them and have my family and have my... Here's what I have learned before I read on. I have learned that when it comes to the end of the end of your life, the buddies, they're probably not going to be there. But that little old family, they will. They're going to stick with you. There might be some people that might come through, but when you're cold, when you're lonely, it's going to be the ones that your loved ones that are there with you. It's going to be those that loved you through. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." God is always good, but the judgment that had been pronounced on Hezekiah was not good. He is deranged. I'm calling Hezekiah deranged, not God. And here's why. Here's how I know that he is deranged. Listen to what he says. "Is it not good
if peace and truth be in my days.
He did not care what was going to happen to the next generation. He had absolutely no concern for the people coming up behind him. We kind of cut up at work sometimes. And we'll fix something. We'll say, well, that'll hold for a little while. And we'll say, well, as long as it holds for about 10 years, we'll be okay. Guy that I work with, he'll cut up with me all the time. I'll say, that looks good. And he says, it looks great from 6895. Looks excellent from my house. And we joke about not having concern. Hezekiah said it. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? What do I care about what happens later on? Read about Manasseh. The next chapter. He's 12 when he starts to reign. And he is wicked as the day is long. What if old daddy or granddaddy Hezekiah, whichever one it was, would have really took Manasseh under his wing and showed him what God had done for him? If he had been more concerned with raising Manasseh than he was with showing the Babylonians around his kingdom, what God could have done in that home. And this old boy, Manasseh, this is the lineage, if there was one that come out of him. Can I go ahead and read that to you in chapter number 21? What time is it? It's 8:07. We're in good shape. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up the altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made his son pass through the fire. Do y'all know what that means? This man burned his son as a sacrifice. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. This little fellow never even made it to the point of getting to be a eunuch. He didn't even get to live his life. And observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen, out of all the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Neither will I make thee the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law of my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. All because Hezekiah showed all the things in his house to this wicked people. You be very careful what you reveal to the world and what you give to the world and what you give over to the world. It might just cost you your heritage and your legacy. I think I'm done. I didn't have all this was free. I didn't. I got up here. I've been studying and thinking on this, and I've had plans to preach a little bit out of the book of John. Here it is, brother. This wasn't what I was going to preach. But let's be very careful as Christians, as children of God, what we give away. The New Testament put it like this. Jesus said not to cast your pearls before the swine. That doesn't mean that you literally stand in front of a bunch of pigs and hold some pearls and then throw them out there. That means don't give the good stuff from your house to somebody that's just going to destroy it. Amen. Brother David, dismiss us, please, sir.